This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
Lars Eller! Trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
All right, the Wednesday. Little blah, but a lot for us to get into. DPHRO Rothenberg with you. March 30th, 2022. The Nets, that was a brutal game. Overtime in the NFL in the postseason has changed up. Luis Severino, shock of all shocks, having soreness issues, will be shut down for a couple days. So we got some stuff today. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing fantastic. Don't bury the lead, though, Dave.
What's the lead?
Oh, you know exactly what the lead is. I read your tweet. I heard from your tweet last night.
Oh, the Rangers.
What a win that was.
I've never, ever, ever seen a team struggle more to score an empty net goal than the Rangers last night.
How good was that sequence down the stretch, though?
But it didn't need to be.
It didn't need to be.
It should have been. Yeah, in the end, Rangers win. That's what you're looking for. But all they needed to do was put the puck in the net with an empty net. They had like seven chances. They couldn't do it. Would have been a lot calmer. But that's a big win. That's a good team.
That's a good team. But again, I mean, that's you're looking at a first-round matchup. That could be it.
Well, I don't even think it could be. Unless something really kind of catastrophic happens, that will be. I think the only question is who will have home ice there.
Who has home ice, yeah.
Yeah.
But back and forth. I mean, Mika had an open net.
Oh, God. And Goudreau then, hit the post.
Goudreau, Kreider, and then... Shesterkin made a couple saves down the stretch. It was awesome, man. That was playoff atmosphere. Sam was losing his mind. It was great.
It was very exciting. Rangers trailed 1-0, tied it at 1, then took a 2-1 lead, then took a 3-1 lead, then took some dumb penalties in the third period.
You don't want to, because they did a pretty good job of keeping Sid and Malkin quiet, but you can't.
Until they didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sid up getting the power play goal, but again, it was the Rangers' power play, man. When they need a goal... they get one, and it was a great play. I mean, Kreider again, obviously.
Is that a play? Shoot it wide, yes. And then yeah,
yeah. I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if he was shooting. He dragged it. Fox, and he's so smart, man. He dragged it across the blue line, and I couldn't tell because they had the screen lined up in front where it was Kopp, and it was Kreider in front of Jari. I can't tell if he was shooting for Kopp to deflect it or he. Listen, it's Adam Fox. I mean, he's that smart. But yeah, you do practice that. You shoot it short side off the end board.
And then you just hustle and get there. Off
well,
the
Kreider, I mean, he's one of the home. He's a weapon on the power play, man. Like the way he reads it, and he's how fast he is to the puck.
Really,
he's
awesome. Is. I'm just glad they kept him, and now we're getting this because it would have made sense if they traded him, and then he scores 45 for another team. He's going to get 50.
Oh yeah, I mean, It was only a matter of time with him, though, man. I mean, you see the skill set, you see the size. Now he's playing with high end talent. The Vetrano trade looks like. I mean, he's got five goals as a Ranger.
Another one last night. How concerned are you? I mean, you hate this team. How concerned are you with the Rangers and a run here?
Well, I'm not concerned because I don't think they're good enough yet to win a Stanley Cup. So I'm not concerned. I mean, it's in our best interest that they play and win a first-round series.
Hang on now. You will root for the Rangers in the first round of the postseason.
I'll give you a little secret.
It's in our best interest for the Rangers to win a postseason series.
Yes, it is. Well, because I mean, I do the show, right? And Don does the K show. So my favorite thing is when the Rangers go on runs and now people have no idea about hockey, you have to talk about hockey. It's my favorite. Because I think we have the advantage.
A huge advantage.
And let me give you a little little.
And one of the two of us has a hockey show on the station.
Exactly right. And the other one does TV for hockey.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
Let me give you a little sneak peek into my head for a second. As much as I hate the Rangers, yeah, and I despise the Rangers, the Pittsburgh Penguins are right there. Right, just sitting
now is,
right
is
there.
Is it the Penguins proper, or is it the fact that they have these specific guys that makes you hate them more?
All of it.
Because you hate the Rangers, period. Like, the Rangers, you detest them.
In perpetuity.
Right. If it's 2022, you hate them. If it's 2050, you hate them. If it's 1980, you hate them. But I don't think you feel the same way about the Penguins.
No, I don't feel the same way about the Penguins. Like, No, maybe I do. I think just I've been scarred by the Penguins that I'll always hate the Penguins, too.
Really?
Yeah, I hate the Penguins. I hate Philly.
But I thought it was Malkin. Like, you hate Malkin. You don't like Crosby. It feels like it's more dedicated to these specific players.
Well, no. I mean, that's part of it. But I also hated Fleury, and I still hate the Penguins. I hated Cook, and I still hate the Penguins. I can't stand Malkin, so I mean that plays into it.
Maybe you don't like the animal, the little waddling animal, the penguin.
Maybe. Well, listen, you know I hate the dolphin. Maybe I just have something about the penguin too. You never know.
Maybe so. But who doesn't like a penguin? It's adorable.
Well, everyone thinks the dolphin's adorable too until you get in the water with it.
Well, because the dolphin is adorable to everybody but you. No one else.
I've seen plenty of videos. No, I mean, I've seen plenty of videos.
I could show you a video on anything. How many times have you seen like a video where it's a little person, like an RJ Santillo, and somebody bullies them, and then they come out like Bruce Lee? Like, I can show you a video for anything.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with animals attacking you? I mean, that's just a shot at RJ for no reason.
I don't think there was no reason. I think it was a perfect reason.
I could show you a video of yourself not tipping at a pizza place, but I mean, I choose not to.
The defense I got yesterday.
Oh, you got
was,
no defense. No, you had one tweet.
I did not get one tweet.
I was passing out tips yesterday like you wouldn't even imagine.
I gave it. You see what I did? The verbal tip.
You're giving verbal tips. I'm at Starbucks. Boom, tip. My wife helping with dinner. I gave her the tip. Everyone was getting tips yesterday.
Really? So you were just spreading them all over the place.
Spreading the wealth.
Good. Well, you continue to do that. Because if I pick up a pizza and I get out of the car, I'm not tipping there.
Are you that lazy that you need someone to come carry the pizza to your vehicle to give them a tip?
No, I don't need that. I'm just saying, like, what have you done? You've made a pie, you've boxed it, and now you're putting it out there on the counter. Why is that tip worthy?
Like you I want people the table. On the lookout. I want everyone, the company, unite. I want you all on the lookout. Dave Rothenberg comes into your establishment and doesn't tip. I want pictures. I want posts. I want it all. I would order your pizza under a different name now. I mean, now you've ticked off the pizza community.
Why? The pizza community loves me. The place we get pizza from, they adore me. Oh, hey, Dave, how are you? Great.
Yeah, that's what they say to your face. Well,
we get some salads there. We get pizza there. It's a takeout establishment. They barely have any sit down.
Yeah, so they thrive on them. Maybe a tip once in a while. Like, hey, we made your pizza. We took care of your garlic knots, extra garlic.
Please,
there's
lines at the door of this place. I don't need to tip them.
I'd like to try some of this pizza that you're talking about.
It's very nice pizza. You'll just tip anybody.
Oh, I tip everybody.
Anybody.
Everybody.
That's too much tipping.
No, it's not too much tipping. You see the smiles on their faces. They enjoy
the
tip.
No, but at what point do you put your foot down? You're in a doctor's office.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you where I put my foot down.
They take you quickly. Do you slip the lady $10? Thank you so much for that.
No, that's different. I'm not. They don't work on tips. She's a receptionist at the doctor's office. That's not her job.
The people that work at this pizza place, they're not working on tips.
No, I know, but now it's because it's takeout. They got to do all sorts of different things.
You mean their job? They have to do their job.
No, but it's extra. It's extra to their job, and there's not the kids.
It's not extra. It defines their job.
Now stop.
Without me picking up a pie, then they have no job.
Yeah, you're cheap, is what you are.
No,
I'll tell you where I draw the line. I'll tell you exactly where I draw the line. And this happened to me over the winter, I guess, at Milo's hockey tournament. When you go to a hotel,
would you tip the official?
No, no, I should have tipped the official. When you go to the hotel and you valet your car, right? Because there's no point. They get to put it in the garage for you because there's nowhere to park.
Yeah.
So they take your keys. So now they want a tip. Now the person helps you with your bags. Now they want a tip. And now it's a different person that takes your bags to your room because they bully you into taking the bags. Now it's three different people.
Yeah, but at least they've provided a service. I'm going to tip all those people.
Each and every one of them. It's too many people. Why can't the person that takes the bags out of the car take the bags to the room so I'm only tipping one person?
What, do you want a Swiss Army knife where the guy does everything?
No, I'm not saying park the car, too. Like, they can have one person for that. That's fine. Boom, you get a tip. But I need two different people? It's too much.
Complaining. You're just a big complainer this morning.
Well, who's worse, me or Winthrop talking? Oh, you know, when I go to Disney, everyone's got their costume hands out. This guy's walking around tipping Mickey and Minnie, this guy.
And who came to my defense yesterday with the lack of tipping at the pizza place? Winthrop.
And that's the guy you want on your side?
I'll take anybody on my side.
Guy hasn't taken a vacation outside of Disney in 15 years.
Yeah, that is a little weird. You know what? I like how you did. You just got us right off the Rangers.
I'd love to talk about the Rangers.
When we get to May, we're going to be wall-to-wall hockey. We're going to be breaking in their power play, Shesterkin, Fox, Panarin, all of it. Don't think you're going to weasel your way out with some kind of cockamamie topic, and all of a sudden we're going to be talking about tipping people at Disney. We're going to stay locked into the Rangers.
Oh, you're making a big assumption there, May. So they're taking care of Pittsburgh then, is what you're saying. All right. I like your confidence. I'm trying to get in the weeds, baby. I'm talking Vetrano, Kopp, you name it.
I think they're good.
Oh, I think they're good,
a good
too.
Team. Are you a gas station tip guy?
For what?
Pump your gas at the gas station.
No, I only pipe. But why?
Where? That's the point. Where does it stop?
Hey, you need someone to pump your gas for you? No, I pump my own gas.
Well, how about in Jersey?
I don't get gas in Jersey.
You've never gotten gas in Jersey?
I stay out of Jersey.
It's probably a wise decision.
No, I go through Jersey all the time. No, I usually get gas before I leave on any road trip situation.
Well, that's dumb. Gas in Jersey's cheaper.
You make a good point.
I mean, you should make sure you're empty when you hit Jersey.
I can't control that.
So you're not a tipping guy with the gas station?
No.
All right. So?
Not normally, no.
I don't think that's a bad thing. My point is, where does it stop?
Well, because I don't want the person to pump my gas, though. See, that's the thing.
Oh.
I don't want them to pump. I prefer pumping
my gas. So you just make up your own rules and regulations?
Yes. I think you're allowed to. There's no tipping handbook.
The DJ company says Rick is going to go broke from tipping. Cass NY Bronx 28. I got to agree with Dave here on this one. If I order my pizza and I'm going in to pick it up, I don't see why I have to tip.
I just think it's nice, especially, I mean,
well, of course it's
restaurants
nice.
Through the
of
pandemic and
nice.
Everything else. How many restaurants closed during the pandemic?
Well, okay. You know what's amazing about you guys? The fact that I say something and you just change it to what you want to change it to. Did I not say during the pandemic I've changed my routine and now
I don't
tip?
Believe you, though. The people don't believe you. That's the problem. People don't believe you. That all of a sudden this you know, switch went off and you're like, oh, now I'm going to just start tipping.
But what? No, I tip because I know how difficult the pandemic has been. And these places have not been open and not had the same kind of business. When we first started ordering pizzas and they were delivering it, I was giving a 100% tip. If the pizza was $20, I gave a $20 tip.
That's nice.
Yes, because I feel for the workers that are not able to make their same living. But ordinarily, I'm sorry. I'm not just willy-nilly with my tips. I'm not handing, I'm not Oprah. And you get a tip, and you get a tip, and you get a tip. Doesn't work like that.
Well, that's fine. Listen, you have your set of guidelines, and I have mine. I'm giving
and that's
away.
Fine. And I'm not judging you for it. Do what you do. I'll do what I do. You stay out of my face. All right?
Yeah, that's fine. To each their own, all right?
Okay.
I appreciate the fact that you're giving away. I mean, now that through the pandemic, you start tipping. That's nice of you.
And there you go. By the way, the Nets... I don't know how you could be all in on this team. And I don't mean you. I mean just anybody. Watching them play, something is clearly missing. And they don't play any defense at all.
Oh, yeah, it's defense that's missing. Now, maybe that changes. I don't know how. I mean, again, I think everyone that's all in on the Nets just expects that once they hit the playoffs and these games matter, is that the intensity will ramp up and the defense will be better. But, I mean, the other thing, most of it really, is that they have KD and Kyrie. That's it. That's what you hang your hat on.
I understand. But you're going to have to score 125 points a night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you saw them. They kicked it in yesterday. Now, they got talent, but they're a young team.
Detroit stinks.
Detroit's not very good, right? And I mean, the first half of that game, gave up 64, didn't defend the three. But KD goes for 41.
He's always so efficient, too. It's like 41 on 23 shots.
Yeah, but that's the beauty of him. Seth Curry, who was huge. I mean, that was that Andre Drummond and Seth Curry in that deal end up being huge, huge pieces for this team moving forward. So Seth hits a couple big threes late. Drummond hits his free throws, and you get a must win.
And it really is. I mean, they're in a must win situation. Let's take a listen. Here is Kyrie on the team's defensive issues right now.
Just trust game plan and us being on the same page, just gearing up for what the postseason will look like for us, where we'll have a little bit more time to prepare. I have some plays that we'll have some schemes. I think it just comes down to trust, and Steve's right in terms of the edge and playing with that consistently. But it's just continuously making adjustments and being comfortable with that and just flowing with the game.
I always find defense is really just about effort.
It's a lot of want, yeah.
Right? And the fact that they look so bad defensively, and you, nobody looks at this team and says, yeah, but they're so well coached and they'll figure out a way. I don't know. If I had to, I still don't look at the Nets as a team that's going to go on a run and go to the finals.
Well, see, that's the thing that you just said. I think that plays into a lot of people when they – a lot of the NBA people that I listen to, I don't know if a lot of them trust Steve Nash. Because you're right. If you have a great coach, it's like, okay, you know, there's been so much, you know, with the Kyrie situation, the Harden stuff, the trade. You know, KD's hurt. Guys in and out of the lineup. We're trying to incorporate Drummond and Curry. So, yeah, it's been hard. So you can understand that if, you know, defense looks a little shaky or whatever. Like, we're still trying to figure it out on the fly. But, hey, we got this great coach. By the time the playoffs hit, we'll know who we're matched up against. It's a series, so we'll have better ways. The system will be tight. But I don't think a lot of people feel that way about Steve Nash.
I don't think anybody feels that way about Steve Nash.
Okay, so again, that's
almost
probably
feel like
you're
it's
not,
they win in spite of Steve Nash, not because of Steve Nash.
But that's how they set it up. That's what they wanted. I mean, you heard Kyrie and KD before. We don't even really need a coach. I mean, I'll coach one day. You coach another day.
Yeah, it's really working out great. All right, we'll see. I mean, listen, I got to tell you, I'm totally into this postseason for the NBA, which starts real soon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw the stat yesterday, and I guess I can believe it, just because, I mean, they've been pretty much a dumpster fire. So the Cleveland Cavaliers have secured their first winning season without LeBron James. Since Cleveland Cavaliers have secured their first winning season without LeBron James since
1997-98. Wow. That's a long time.
That's their first winning season without LeBron. That's crazy.
You see what you just did there, though?
What?
Like, I thought I was bringing up a good topic.
That's not a great topic. I mean, what are we sitting here doing? Go back and forth? I don't care that much.
All right. So are we allowed to do that now? If there's something that doesn't interest me, I just say I don't care. We move on.
Yeah, we'll just change the topic.
Great.
What do you want to do?
Okay.
I mean, we can
terrific.
Talk about the game if you want. I don't need to
start
going back and forth.
That's fine.
Rivalries.
It's fine. I didn't know I was eligible to say I don't care and move on. But now that I know, that's a good thing to have in my holster here.
No, because you used a read to ambush me into talking about what you want to talk about, which is this basketball game, which I'm more than happy to talk about.
I did not
start going best rivalries.
It's not like I brought up rock throwing. I brought up the Final Four.
I have watched rock skipping before, though. It's intense.
Well, I don't want to talk about that.
All right, so let's talk. I mean, I'm excited about it. I make more of
the forget it. Now you've ruined the mood.
No, because you're not bringing up the game.
No, it's like
I had the
mood lighting. I had the champagne. I had the roses. The bed was all ready to go.
No.
And I brought you over to the bed, and you're like, I'm not interested. No, that's
because there was something on the bed.
It was all ready to go.
It wasn't rose petals. There was a stain. I don't know what it is. I can't take my clothes off.
Oh, beautiful rose petals. Beautiful.
Why wear pants?
You pantless freak.
I gave him, you see what I did? The verbal tip.
I did like the verbal tip, yes.
I'm naked right now.
You gave me 2 hours and 58 minutes of garbage, and then you threw in the verbal tip and made up for all of it.
Listen, I say your mom naked, and I'm like, okay.
I don't know what that's from. That's a weird one. All right, let's go to Alex in the car. Alex, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. So I think I got the overtime rule that'll get the job done for everybody here. I think the biggest issue with these overtime rules is clearly if the game's tied, you're watching a tight game, right? And a back and forth. And you don't want an overtime rule that takes that away. That was the problem with the old rule with just kicking a field goal. It changed everything. And even now, I think if you make it so that the winner is the first team to put up 8 points, what that does is if you march down the field, you score a touchdown, you get the two-point conversion. Like Rick said, absolutely. God bless. You whooped them. You deserve the win.
They said no already, though, Alex. Alex, they said no already. That was
right,
a proposal.
But just because they said no doesn't mean it's not a good idea. Like, that's what it should be. I think people, they got to push it.
But here's the thing, though.
It works on every level.
But no, I don't think it does, because you have a huge advantage if you win the coin toss. You win the toss, and all of a sudden you go down there, touchdown, two-point conversion. The other team never gets a chance to have the football.
Yeah, but they don't deserve to get the ball back if you can't stop them?
So you're telling me that everything changes based solely on the two-point conversion? Because they're giving you another chance if they score. So if they're able to get the two, now they're not worthy of another chance?
No, but like at some point, like defense has to matter. Like if you can't stop them from scoring a touchdown plus a two-point conversion, do you deserve to get the football? No. Like there has to be some emphasis kept on defense too.
Well, this really takes the defense out of it.
And that bothers me a little bit.
The problem with what you've seen also in these playoff games, I don't remember every one, but like the Kansas City, New England, it was up and down the field. Tons of points in the final couple minutes. So the offense
had a huge
advantage.
And two great quarterbacks. But that's the thing, though, when it's two great quarterbacks.
Right, but if you had a 13-13 game go to overtime, you might feel differently.
Yeah, with average quarterbacks, yeah. I mean, the reason why it was a big deal was because, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes were playing out of their minds in that, especially
exactly.
Josh Allen.
And you never got a chance to see Josh Allen.
Josh Allen was awesome in that game.
I think he's, boy, I thought that was one of the great performances I've ever seen. I thought he was different level.
He went to a different level in that game.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, the whole tipping thing, people could not agree with me more.
I saw him getting destroyed in the poll.
There's a poll up on DiPietro and Rothenberg. You can follow it on Twitter, at DR on ESPN. If you order a pizza and pick it up, do you tip? 79%. Nope. 21%, yeah.
Now maybe you should try tipping now and see how much better the pizza tastes.
Well, how is that possible?
I get special treatment. I come in and it's, hey, Rick, how you doing? Pizza's just, it's perfectly cooked.
Maybe see, but it's almost, like couple... it's almost like you're bribing them.
No, I'm not bribing anybody, but I mean, may get a free bag of garlic knots.
I thought you were going to say beluga caviar.
No.
Is that you started to go there, though?
No, that wasn't where I was going, but no.
And you know what else I don't like? When I pay for it with a credit card, and now I get upcharged.
Which is your own fault. Pay with cash. There's no upcharge. You get something with cash.
Honestly, who carries cash?
Well, but now you know the rules. So bring cash to get pizza.
But I never have cash on me.
Well, I didn't know the rules about your little PayPal situation. I got charged an extra $1.25 or something.
Well, because you didn't do the family and friends.
I don't trust the Venmo. I don't use the Venmo.
You're a big baby.
Same thing with gas. They upcharge you for credit card gas.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I filled up last night. Guess how much?
And that beautiful BMW that you drive?
I don't have a BMW.
What happened to the BMW?
The lease was up. I returned it.
What'd you get?
I'm not telling you.
Did you get the car you wanted?
I'm not telling you what I got.
Did you get the car you wanted?
Maybe.
Did Sherry let you get it?
No, I don't have it. You don't think I would?
I'm not getting a Tesla. I'm not allowed.
No.
I can't believe you're not allowed to get a Tesla.
So I'm not allowed to get a Tesla.
I would say it cost you $80.
Nope. $70.
$70.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot. This was not the time to buy a big old pickup truck. I can tell you that.
I would agree. What do you pay for a tank of gas?
As much as it lets me. Usually shuts me off.
Does it shut you off?
Yeah, it shuts me down.
Do they call your credit card company?
No,
somebody's
I get
trying to fill up for gas over $100. This is obviously stolen.
Someone's filling up a boat with your credit card.
Yeah, some guy is just bringing jugs to the gas station. All right. So it is now time. 1-800-919-3776. I call it. We call it Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. Stump Rothenberg is always brought to you by Jackpocket. All right. Away we go. 1-800-919-3776. Anywhere you want to go. Now, RJ, I don't know if you've heard this. I've called you out on Saturday mornings. I think Ty screens a better call for Stump Rothenberg than you.
I don't know if I've heard it on Saturday. You tell me regularly, weekly.
Okay, good.
RJ doesn't waste his time listening to your Saturday show.
Do you feel that you are getting to a point where you're bettering this segment, or are questions firing through that shouldn't be getting on the air?
No, I think we've really tightened the ship up.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, let's go. We start out as we always do and bring in Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Diva Pietro and Rothenberg.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, that's right. This is the great Andy in Merrick,
yeah,
of course.
I can't call in. I don't feel good.
I am the great Andy from Columbus. Columbus, Ohio today, the home of the best rivalry in sports. Went to the Blue Jackets out of the game last night.
Where are you calling from? The hotel pool? I mean, can we put your mouth closer to the speaker here a little bit?
Why do you have to take shots at
Okay, Ricky.
Well, sounds like he's calling from the bathroom. Trump,
but I got a Duke to Diva as well. Two NCAA questions for us. David.
Yes.
Not counting Arizona, which had two appearances vacated. Only four universities have appeared in each of the last 24 tournaments. Kansas, Duke, UNC. Who's the fourth one?
Kansas, Duke, UNC.
You said Carolina. You said in the last 24 tournaments?
Yes, sir.
So they've been to every tournament. How about
each of the last 24?
Now I'm talking to Rick. This is not my full answer right now. How about Michigan State, Rick? You think they could be that team?
Oh, Michigan
under
State.
Izzo? I think it's Michigan State. I feel good. I'm going to answer that. Final answer.
That is correct.
Boom.
Easy peasy.
Boom. Did you say? Oh, I think he said he had another one.
No, hang up.
They already did.
He doesn't have the energy.
That's the one thing you don't have to tell Santiago twice about.
He doesn't have the energy. Andy's on vacation.
All right, let's go. Bobby in Saratoga. Bobby, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, guys. All right, so there have only been three players in MLB history when they got their 3,000th hit to have hit a home run for their 3,000th hit. I think you know who the last two were. Who was the first one?
I think Boggs did it. I think
that's all he wanted.
So Bob, yeah, because A-Rod and Jeter did it, right? So I'll go with Boggs.
Yep.
There you
go. Correct.
And there you go. That look, we're red hot today.
This is too easy.
I am too smart.
I can't wait to see this one question. I cannot wait to see this one question
about you.
No, not about me.
About animals?
Yes.
All right. RJ says it's a good question. Let's go. Jared in Morganville. Jared, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
All right. So a group of turkeys is called a raptor. What are a group of cicadas called?
Group of cicadas. Interesting question.
I think I know the answer.
How would you know the answer? If you get the answer to this.
Then I'm cheating.
No, you're a genius. Because
I believe it's a brood. Look, hands up, not on the computer.
That's correct.
Yes.
This may be your greatest performance of all time right now. I'm saying.
Very smart.
No, but this is more than. You're not wasting any time. There's no thinking. It's boom answer.
Boom answer. 1-800-919-3776. Tyler in Hamden. Tyler, this is about you.
Hey,
I don't know
guys.
If I'm going to get this one. Go ahead, Tyler.
Morning, fellas. How many goals has Alex Ovechkin scored on Rick DiPietro through his career?
Now let's be honest. Is that really a good question?
Listen, man. It's questions stump you. That's all I know.
No, but it's not a great question.
It's a terrible. Does anybody care about the answer to that?
How dare you,
Rick? I think the guy sitting next to you will.
How dare you?
You think that there are people? Guess how many goals Ovechkin has on DiPietro?
I think
today?
They've said this. I think this has been done before. I think we did this on the point. I think they brought this up.
What, when he like broke the most recent Jager record? They said how many goals he had on you.
Yeah, I know the answer to it because I was on the show, and it's not that many.
It's not that many. Come on.
I don't know, five.
Wow. Okay, that was a good one. Good guess.
That's
wow,
right.
Was that a guess?
Yeah, how would I have any
Holy.
Idea?
Holy, that's pretty good right there.
Are you guys messing with me? Is that really the answer?
No, five is right.
Well, I went there because you said it's not that many.
Someone help me!
Do you know who is in the who's given up the most or tied for the most?
I think Lundqvist is up there.
Yep, Marc-Andre Fleury and Lundqvist.
Yeah.
Yes! How about Lundqvist? Does Lundqvist have the best hair you've ever seen in your life?
That's my friend. He left me a birthday message, Henrik Lundqvist.
Guy's hair is amazing. If he does his own hair.
He's a very handsome man.
He may be a better hairdresser than he was ever a goal if he does his own
Dave,
hair.
Hey, Dave. Henrik Lundqvist here.
Yeah.
That's guy's hair is gorgeous. You know, he's the Head and Shoulders guy over in Sweden.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
But there's no way that man has dandruff.
No, no, but he's got beautiful hair.
But he's too perfect. He doesn't.
It's gorgeous hair.
All right. You have a question or no?
Oh, yeah.
All right, what do you got?
Topical question. So Chris Kreider got his 23rd power play goal. Can you tell me who has the most power play goals in a season for your New York Rangers?
Oh, for the Rangers?
For the Rangers.
Let's see. I don't think it's Graves.
Single season.
Tomas Sandstrom, Tim Kerr. You think it could be Jágr, Jean Rattel? What does Kreider have now? 24?
Got 23.
23. And that was 45 last night, right?
Oh, he's having a hell of a season.
Gartner. Gartner could be up there. He was good on the power play.
Mark Gartner was good on the power play.
And Gravy, but I don't think it's Graves.
I'm gonna go with
Jágr, but I don't have tremendous confidence in that.
Jágr was skating by two.
That is correct, my friend. 24 power play goals in a season.
It's all happening right now. How many does he have?
Yeah, 24.
So that'll be broken, you have to imagine.
Well, the clip he's going at, yeah.
What are we, like 5-0 right now?
But this is a whole different level, 5-0.
Why? Because now they're immediate answers?
Well, because if you did the algorithm, which is the right answer plus time, and this is a different.
So this is a more impressive version.
Yes.
All right.
I did my little algorithm yesterday. Yeah. See, you love playing that.
Let's go to Lou in Staten Island. Lou, you're on Stump Rothen.
Question.
Yeah.
Only two fighters were able to beat Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, and George Foreman. Name the two fighters.
Boxing question.
It's a good question.
You don't get a lot of boxing questions. This is going to be very impressive if you get it.
It's a good question.
Dave doesn't even know how to throw a punch, so if he gets this question right.
Roar! You think that's funny, huh? I mean, really, you think that's hysterical?
No, I'm laughing at the roar.
I get horrendous take Rick.
You want me to give you a hint of where they fought out of?
I don't want a hint, but I don't know.
How about a date? Can we get the date?
New York.
Ooh.
What is that? Wait, you said can we get the date? And he says New York?
Yeah, whatever. He's trying to give hints, all right?
I don't know.
Obviously, both of them beat George Foreman in his second.
Wait, so this guy beat all of those guys?
Two guys beat three of them: Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, and George Foreman.
How about Lennox Lewis?
No.
How about Riddick Bowe?
No.
Come on, Dave.
I don't know the answer. I'm thinking who else it could be. How about Michael Moore?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, he said it was New York.
Both of them fought out of New York. I want to say in the last 20 years, obviously.
James Toney.
No.
I don't have the answer. I don't know.
Genius as you are, and I give you all the compliments. You're not good in boxing, but this is a tough one unless you know boxing from the New York standpoint.
Well, what's the answer?
The answer is Lou Savarese and Alex the Destroyer Stewart.
You would have never got that.
I mean, Lou Savarese beat Evander Holyfield?
That's what he said.
I don't know.
I'll look it up.
I don't know that that's true. That Lou Savarese beat Evander Holyfield.
Oh, he sounded confident.
All right, do a little recognizance there and figure that out. All right, RJ, you can put us back in a better way.
New York.
Be a bad guy you are.
It was a panic answer, but it's okay.
What a bad guy you are.
Who's a bad guy?
What's the date, RJ. New York?
He's just holding back. He's a bad guy.
I laughed.
Do you want the date? No, New York. Thank you.
Dave, what time should we break? Tuesday.
Yeah.
All right, so free agency going on. Dave, current players on your Giants we're going to run through. All right? This is a new one, but you should know this. Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor. I don't know that I know that.
Oh no.
Did he go to, wait, it might be Virginia Tech.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, I knew you'd know.
Yeah. I think he's from the same town as Iverson, actually.
Listen, you were once a man of the people in that general area, so.
Further south, but yes.
All right. A little easier. Sterling Shepard.
Oklahoma.
Thank you. Darius Slayton.
Was he Auburn?
Yeah, he was Auburn.
Oh.
All right. Gets a little tougher now. Nate Solder.
Now, you said on the Giants. Nate Solder no longer on the Giants.
Correct. Sorry.
That being said, I think he went to University of Colorado.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this one's challenging, but I think you'll know it.
Okay.
Matt Breida.
The running back Matt
Breida. Like the water filter?
That's right.
No, that's Breida. This is Breida.
Love the Breida, though.
Georgia Southern.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Good work.
Nice.
So outside of that Lou Savarese question, I got them all right. Did you do any work on that one?
He beat Lou Savarese. I'm not seeing a loss against him.
Oh, no.
Still scrolling.
Keep scrolling. That's Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by the Jackpocket app. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Download the app and get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket for free using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants or needs help, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service. Are you telling me that he was incorrect with his answer?
I'm looking right now. It says it was a win on June 30th, 2007.
And Santiago is saying that Savarese did not beat Holyfield.
Maybe he meant to fight?
Well, that's not what he said.
Well, no, that's not what he said, so we can't count it.
All right, so then we had a perfect edition of Stump Rothenberg.
Well done. Really
there
good
we
job.
Go.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN. This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
All right, can I now do my read without you interrupting me?
As long as you do it well, don't choke all over it.
Listen, you just shut up.
This is how I get the best out of you.
Oh, yeah?
This is pushing you. Each person has a certain way to get the best out of them.
And this is not the way that works for me. Get out of my way and let me do my job, please.
Here we go.
This is DPetro and Rothenberg.
Can we get the date?
New York.
Oh.
Wait, you said, can we get the date? And he says New York?
Yeah, whatever. He's trying to give hints, all right?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, DPetro and Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. The thing that's so telling there is not that the guy says, or you say, can we get the date? And he says New York. It's your reaction. Ooh. Play that again.
To be nice. That's a good hint. New York.
Play that again. Can we get the date? New York. That's not what moves the needle. It's his as if that's a tremendous help there.
I said New York. I had a little hint. Yeah, but it wasn't.
Can we get the
question
date?
Was wrong.
Can we get the date? New York. Oh. what an awful reaction from you. You weren't listening to what he said at all.
Oh, well, because he gave you a little bit more. The date would have been okay, but they gave you where they're from.
Can we get the date?
New York.
Oh.
Wait, you said, can we get the date? And he says New York?
Yeah, whatever. He's trying to give hints, all right?
Oh, your reaction is amazing. Oh.
Can we get the date?
New York.
Oh.
What are you doing?
That doesn't even sound like me.
You weren't listening to anything he was saying.
No.
Oh.
Can we get the date?
New York.
Oh.
What an awful reaction by you. You really are a treat, though.
I'm getting a tweet here that Lou Savarese actually lost to Tyson Holyfield and Foreman.
That wasn't the question.
No, I understand. I understand that wasn't the question.
I mean, he asked the opposite. So what you just saw then was perfection.
Perfection at its finest, yeah.
Yeah. Can we get the date? New York. Oh.
Really? Can we get the date?
New York.
Oh.
Oh. You are an amazing man. Oh. DPHR Rothenberg with you, as always, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right. So there's a caller on the line who wants to get into this. I want to ask you before we bring him up. He says Yankees are better than the Mets. I will say this. Long season, I'll buy into that. Short series, no way.
Long season, maybe. Maybe. I'm still not willing to say that yet. Especially when you look at the Yankees division, man.
But I think you can have the argument in a long season, 162 games, the Yankees could be better than the Mets. Short series, I don't even think it's up for debate.
Yeah, but they could be. But, I mean, there are still a lot of things, I mean, to like about this Mets team that give you a reason to believe that they could win the division and have a better record than the Yankees.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm just saying, of those two, one of them, possible Yankees better than the Mets in the regular season. Postseason, for me, I'm sorry. Mets are clearly head and shoulders better than the Yankees right now.
Yeah, see, I'm not even sure. I mean, that doesn't feel like a conversation right now at the moment, especially with what's going on with Severino and Herman.
Oh, you got injuries. So, I mean, you could argue those are your second and third best starters when healthy.
I think a lot of people expected Severino to be the Yankees' number two.
How could you expect that? The guy hasn't pitched in years.
Well, I told you, he's pitched 18 innings in 3 years.
Okay, so how could you expect him to be your number two starter when he hasn't pitched in literally years?
The hope, maybe. Maybe I should say that. It was the hope.
All right. Well, right now you can't have that same hope that you had 4 days ago. That's for sure.
No, absolutely not.
All right, let's bring him in now. Wants to start the debate. Joe in Brooklyn, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, guys. Just moved from Brooklyn to Jersey, so I listen to you guys on my commute, and I appreciate you guys.
Well, thank you.
I'm just hearing a lot of Mets fans calling in, happy about how the Yankees don't look as good as everybody thinks they're going to be. But I would argue that, you know, last year we were running out guys like Odor and Velasquez and, you know, Sanchez wasn't doing nothing. And this year I'm feeling a lot better about the Yankees. And the way we're talking about the Mets is like they won 77 games last year. You know, how much better can they do adding one pitcher?
Oh, a lot.
And
how much better can they do?
I don't think they made that many power moves.
You really don't? Yeah, Marte's terrific. Escobar's a good player. Canna's a good player. You added, arguably a top five pitcher. Not even arguably. You added a top five pitcher in all of baseball. You don't think they made big moves?
I think they made big moves, but not enough to take them from 77 wins to a World Series or a playoff run.
Well,
I disagree with you.
Question.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, and I'll say this, because, listen, the Yankees could have a better regular season record. You can't sit here as a Yankees fan and tell me right now, the way that the Yankees are constructed as opposed to the way the Mets are constructed, you wouldn't feel better about the Mets' chances in a playoff series with their pitching.
Well, yeah, because of DeGrom and Scherzer, but besides that.
Well, besides that.
Just say, besides that.
Well, what do you mean besides that?
Besides that, is there any person?
What do you mean? How can you say? How can DeGrom and Scherzer be a besides that in the conversation?
Because they're not playing every day. Besides,
oh my God!
The starting pitcher,
Rick, you can. Hang on, Joe. I don't want to let you go because your call is phenomenal. Rick, you can finish the conversation.
No, let him.
With
no. Is he still on the phone? Is he still on the phone?
Yeah, he's still here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
All right, Joe, ask the question, Joe.
So on the field, besides the ace.
Okay.
Who are you taking on the Mets over the Yankees?
Pete Alonso.
Position player.
I'm taking Pete Alonso at first. I'm going to take Lindor at short. That's for sure. I would take Marte over Aaron Hicks all day, every day. Who else?
You could argue McCann, certainly.
McCann behind the plate. Maybe Canna in left over Gallo, depending on how he plays this season. But you can't just the two pitchers at the top of the rotation can't be an afterthought. Well, besides that. But that's when you take advantage of having those pitchers is in a series.
Of course it is. Short series, you're going to go DeGrom. Now, again, it all accounts to DeGrom's health. But DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett, find me a better starting rotation than that. I don't think you can.
Well, but let's not pretend like, too. I mean, Gerrit Cole dealt with some injury stuff last year, too. Not to mention how not having the sticky stuff affected him.
Right. And you know what? Stop the argument now. Gerrit Cole, in the biggest game last year, was not good.
No, he was not.
So, I mean, how could you say besides that?
No, because you can't. Because that's just, you're trying to make an argument that because you're a Yankees fan. And you're sick of hearing your Mets fans talk about how they've made, the Mets fans outside of the bullpen, right? I mean, outside of losing Aaron Loop and not really addressing the bullpen, every other move that they made, I mean, the Mets, including the manager.
Right. Manager makes you, I mean, how many wins right off the bat you think the manager gives you? Five?
I'll tell you one of the reasons why this team was so disappointing last year, because their clubhouse was a mess.
It was a mess. It was awful. And you say, how are you going to go from 77 to winning the World Series? That should have never been a 77-win team last season.
Last year was an embarrassment.
Never. If this team doesn't win 90-plus, they've had a failed season.
Yes. Yeah, and plus you didn't have DeGrom either.
Right. You had DeGrom for the first half. He was as good as you've ever seen, and then it fell apart.
Well, remember, too, they're talking about trying to. I mean, remember how that whole thing unfolded, too? You're talking about trying to get him an extra start before the All-Star break. Right? Can we sneak in one more start to turn it into he's shut down?
Right. And then you don't see him the rest of the season then. Shooter, Stanford. Good morning, Shooter.
Morning, fellas.
What's going on, Shooter?
Hey, guys. Dear. I'm a Yankee fan. I sent you the tweets about Donnie Baseball Day coming up on April 3rd. Doc's coming out. I'm very excited about that. But I don't think the Yankees will be better than the Mets. Not a chance. I think the Mets, like you guys just said, the Mets pitching way better. And like you went through the lineup, Josh, he's agreeing with me. Yankees, we're in big trouble. We're going to be better than last year, right? Because we're going to play to the back of our baseball cards, hopefully. But I'm very worried.
Very worried.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried. I mean, they'll address it. I imagine they'll address it.
You know what's amazing? Very worried for a Yankees fan is we're still going to get into the postseason and still win 90-plus games.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's where they're at, though, right? I mean, they feel like there's a sense of urgency, and when they look at what the Yankees did this offseason, they don't feel like that Brian Cashman has that same kind of urgency.
Do you?
No. No, I don't. But I mean, I also could sit here and say, I mean, they're still spending a ton of money, and it'll be more once they get Aaron Judge's extension done.
Right. So they'll be well over 260.
So they're spending plenty of money. I'm telling you, I feel about the Yankees the same way I felt about what the Mets did in the first year with Steve Cohen, because we got ourselves all worked up.
You were underwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be Springer. It was going to be Real Moot. Like you named it. Like we were going to get, you know, not just one, maybe two of those guys. And then we end up with McCann behind the plate, who's fine, but he's not Real Muto.
Nope.
We didn't get Springer. Yeah, you traded for Lindor and gave him a whole ton of, you know, crap load of money, but.
You feel differently now, though. Year two, you feel very differently. Let's go to Ronald in Queens. Good morning, Ronald.
Gentlemen, a little bit of concern. The hubris. I'm a Mets fan, like, through and through. I painted my entire building blue and orange. Like, I'm all in. But I can't do the preseason hype. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because every single time I see DeGrom get on that mound, I say to myself, like, when's the day? And I know I shouldn't think like this, but I'm a Mets fan.
You know what, Ronald? I think I understand why you feel like that. I do. And you're just going to have blind faith that this will be different this year than it's been. But I truly, Rick, I understand why he feels like that.
Yeah, listen, I mean, going into this thing, I'm not as nervous as he sounds, but yeah, I mean, there's still some concerns there.
And the truth is, every time DeGrom trots out to the mound, you're going to have that moment of, oh God, don't let today be the day.
Because you saw him break down.
You
right?
did.
I mean, that's what happened last year.
And you're not exactly sure what it was.
I think we have an idea what it was. And that then, and really, I mean, that becomes the bigger problem, is if it wasn't a specific injury, it's more just like he can't. The way he throws now, the velocity he throws at, he doesn't hold up. That's a problem.
That's a fair concern.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see this article from Mark Berman of the New York Post?
About Julius Randle?
This is not a very flattering article, my
friend.
No,
it's not. No.
It goes on about how sensitive he is, and that he won't come out for pregame introductions on the road, One source said Randall sometimes dresses by himself in another area of the locker room. I mean, he's not part of the team if this stuff is true.
No, or he separated himself from the team.
Well, I mean, why do you think that is? I got to tell you, you're going to have to trade this guy.
I mean, the way he's acting, it sounds like he wants to be traded.
But what can you get for him?
I don't know. I mean, you don't act like this if you're not. I mean, if you're all in, you don't act the way he's acting.
Well, that's clearly true. But if you're another team, like what? If you're Memphis, right? Memphis, they have a star player. They have other good young players. I don't know. Like just thinking out loud, like what? If you're a team like that, what are you going to trade for Julius Randle?
Memphis? Why would Memphis trade?
Well, I'm just thinking of a team that like is young, is talented, is good. Maybe he comes in, he's the third guy.
No,
like
no,
a
but
team
like
that
wouldn't. But a team like that wouldn't trade.
Right, so
for
then
Julius
who would?
Randle.
Then what kind of team would have interest in Julius Randle?
Well, it depends on what the Knicks are looking for. I mean, the article suggests that if the Knicks don't re-sign Mitchell Robinson, that they would you know go out looking for a center, and then that Randle would be a part of that deal. He's still a good player. I mean, in the right circumstance, he's still a good player.
I was bothered with what Kay and the guys had to say yesterday, though. First of all, Michael had no understanding why there was chance for Obi Toppin. And no one is saying that Randall's not a better player than Toppin, but what he said that upset me is like, and Randall still had a very good year. I completely disagree with that. I don't think Randall's had a very good year by any stretch.
Not a very good year. He's had a decent year.
Decent and very good are very different.
Yeah, I don't think he's had a very good year at all. Statistically, he's had a pretty good year.
Yeah, but that's what he is. When we got him, that was the knock on him. He's going to put up numbers, but they're hollow.
Yeah, but then he changed everyone's mind last year with what he did.
But this whole, don't get fooled by the statistics with this guy.
No, I'm not getting fooled by the statistics. All I'm saying is that statistically, he's had an okay season. A pretty good, I mean, he's giving you 20 points a game. What's killed him this year is his three-point percentage is. He's down at 30%. Last year he shot 41%, which is a humongous difference.
But 41% from the floor is horrendous.
No, I know, but still, I mean, he still gives you 20, 10, and 5. Which on a team where he's not expected to be the face of the, you know, one of the faces of the franchise, your best player, that's nice production.
If he gave you 20, 10, and 5 in 33 minutes a night as your third best player and shot 48% from the floor, fine. When you look at him and say, he's got to be my number one player.
Did you say 48%? He shoots 40% from the floor.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, 40% from the floor is awful. For a big guy to shoot 40% from the floor?
He takes some really bad shots.
Terrible shots. But that's another. His shot selection is brutal.
See, I think that's part of his biggest problem, though, is that he bought into himself. I think he bought into what he did last year. And now he considers himself a star in this league, and he should be treated like a star.
I think he's on an island by
the fan base.
If he believes that he's a star in this league, I think he's on an island of one.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly what. I'll tell you why he believes what he believes.
All right,
okay?
Tell me.
All right, so I'll give you the list of players in the NBA that have averaged 20 plus points, 9 plus rebounds, and 5 plus assists this season. So I told you he's giving you 20, 10, and 5. Would you like the list of players in the league this year that have averaged 20? 9 plus rebounds and 5 plus assists.
Sure.
Okay. It's him, Giannis, Luka, and Joker.
Okay. If I said to you, here's a list of four guys, who doesn't belong and why, what's the answer to that?
It's Julius Randle.
Okay. It's not close.
Not close, but again, I think that's part of, I think he feels like he's arrived. He's an all-star. He's a star in this league. He was second team All-NBA, and because he got off to a slow start, fans were having none of it. And that's what being in New York is, man. I mean, if you don't meet expectations.
Then New York is not for you. It's not for everyone.
That's it.
It wasn't for Sonny Gray.
All right. Well, you just said it.
But Sonny Gray was great. Yeah.
But Sonny Gray didn't have the kind of success in New York that Julius Randle had in New York last season.
That's true. But maybe that was just the perfect storm coming together. He has this wild season. There's no fans. It's a different kind of season. He hits a home run, and he can't duplicate that. And he'll never be that guy again. Maybe that was the unicorn season for this guy.
Yeah, and again, I mean, and he hasn't made it any easier on himself with the way he's reacted.
He makes it way more difficult.
Way more difficult.
Let's go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
on, gentlemen. Hey, Julius got to go, man. I mean, he checked out last year. After they held him in check last year with Atlanta, he hasn't been the same guy. Like you said earlier, he came on, he had a slow start. You got to have some thick skin to work and play in New York. I mean, listen, at this point, I really consider them junk points because he's a big dude. He's going to bully his way in. He's going to get his 20 points tonight. It's going to happen, even on 50 shots, which he shouldn't be taking anyway. You know, and the other thing is, I think since RJ, the emergence of RJ, the greater emergence of RJ, dude's ego took a hit, man. You know, in New York, you got to have an ego, but you got to have be able to back it up too. So, I don't know. Call Jerry Jeffries and get the junkyard down. Get anybody in here. We just need some rebounding. Get him out of here. He's not going to do. He's a detriment to the team. But then the flip side to that though. If we had a valid point guard to hit the guys in the spot so they can make their shots, it could be different. I don't know.
Yeah, but we don't. Right? That's the problem. We don't. And but even not having a point guard, like there's no reason to act the way that he's acted this season. Like he got his extension. I mean, everyone was throwing flowers at his feet last season, chanting MVP and everything else. So now with real expectations, the team, you know, the team hasn't lived up to him, and he hasn't lived up to him, so no, he hears it.
Not at all. And he's heard it, and he doesn't like what he's heard, and he has not handled it well.
It takes a special kind of player to have long-term success in New York.
It's a tough city.
It is.
I mean, you know better than anyone.
But the great ones really, Matt. I mean, because I'm sure it pissed Derek Jeter off too, and I'm sure Mo the same
but
thing.
But they never complain. They never say a word.
Because there's certain athletes that can internalize stuff like that, right? They use it as fuel. And there's some that hurts their feelings.
What would you say the odds are that he's a member of the Knicks opening day of next season?
Unless they can't move him for whatever reason, I don't think he wants to be here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem. If he does, he's showing a very strange way
If this is him wanting to be here, could you imagine what it would look like if he didn't want to be here?
No, he'd gasoline the place up and torch it on fire, right? Well, let's go to Ryan in Saratoga. Good morning, Ryan. You're next up on 98.7.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's going on, pal?
Not much. I wanted to talk Yankees and Mets with you guys. You guys were weighing rosters back and forth. I wanted to pose you a question.
Mm-hmm.
The pitchers, starting pitchers, obviously, I think the Mets have that. What, if you're going to give me your top three or four players, position players, Mets and Yankees, who you got and why would you argue Mets over Yankees there? And my follow-up question would be, bullpen-wise, I think the Yankees have a clear advantage, which plays a huge role in the postseason. So, thank you.
I think Yankees bullpen is better. I would agree with that. Yankees bullpen.
Well,
is better
if Chapman is in one of his the portion of the season where he can actually find the strike zone,
right? But you don't love Diaz either.
Oh no, I'm not going to say I love Diaz.
So I mean,
you
best
may end
play-
up with the wise guy may end up being your closer by the end of it.
He's got great stuff.
Great stuff.
The best player in New York is Aaron Judge.
A position player?
Yes.
Okay.
And then where do you go?
Oh, we're saying best players, or I thought he's just said position by position.
I think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying the best four position players between the Mets and the Yankees are who?
Ooh, the best four position players.
Yeah. A Judge, I'll give number one. I think that's obvious.
All right, Judge will go number
one. He's Sal Romano!
I mean, shouldn't Lindor be two? I mean, Lindor should be two.
Should he be? Yes. Will he be? I don't know.
He's having a pretty good spring, though.
He's having a very good spring.
I think we give him 1 year. Like, you give him the 1 year, okay, you're figuring things out, right? Maybe we gave you a little bit too much too soon.
All right, so who are yes, I think
Pete Alonso's got to be up.
Your number
I
two.
Mean, Pete's got to be up there.
He's got to be.
Has to be.
I mean, Gleyber Torres should be there. But
Stanton, Stanton had a great year last year.
But those are your guys.
I can't hold that against them.
It's clearly one is Judge, and then you have Lindor, you have Pete, you have Stanton.
LeMahieu. He's a stud, man.
I got to see something from him, though.
Well, yeah, but he's dealing with a sports hernia the entire season.
Yeah, but he had a bad season.
Dude, have you had a sports hernia before?
No.
Okay, it's not great.
Is there an injury that's happened that you haven't actually had to deal with in your life?
Oh, let's see. I've had both hips done, knees multiple times, face, groin. No.
Yeah. You're leading the league in something, my
broken
friend.
Elbow.
Broken elbow. Anthony in the Bronx. Anthony, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, Anthony.
Real quick, but as a Met fan also and a Knicks fan, really quick, if Lindor doesn't have a good season this year, that might go down as the worst signing in the history of baseball.
Dude, Anthony, if Lindor doesn't have a good season, and we're in year one of the, we're in one big time. Like, we're going to have real problems.
So, as a Knicks fan, the only people to blame for the way Julius Randle acts, and at times watching him play, like if somebody makes a mistake or a turnover or a bat, he looks at them like he's just like totally above them. Like, I can't believe you're doing this and I'm on the same court as you. There's nobody else to blame but the Knicks. The Knicks turned him into this. They turned him into a face of the franchise. And I don't understand why. On a good team, he's the third best player. On a good team.
But you do understand why, Anthony. Because he was great. He was great last year.
But they're not a good team. They weren't a good team. He was the best player on your team last year. He was second team All-NBA.
That was a complete outlier. He got exposed.
Listen, Anthony, you're not wrong. You are right. Couple things. A, you're not a very good team. So he still probably is your best player, second best player. And secondly, you know now that was an outlier. But coming into this season, were people parading saying that there's no way he can duplicate that? No. I thought a lot of us thought that was kind of what Julius Randle was going to be.
No, I don't think we thought it was going to be that good.
You didn't think it'd be this?
No, I didn't think it'd be this, but I didn't think it'd be. I mean, I thought it would be somewhere in the middle. Where, I mean, it wasn't going to be. That was probably going to be as good as we ever saw from him.
Fine.
But
well, then maybe it's just me. I thought he'd be closer to what we saw last season than to what we've seen this season.
Yeah, closer. I mean, listen, I'm not going to get crazy and say, oh, he's going to duplicate. He's going to shoot, you know, 41% from three and everything else. No, that was a special magical season for a bunch
what
of different
reasons.
What did
he shoot? What did he shoot overall last year from the floor?
Almost 46. So almost 46%.
And he's shooting 41% now.
Shooting 41% and 30.5 from three.
And last year was 41% from three?
Yeah.
God.
I know.
That is a huge drop off, huh?
But that's been a huge problem for him. And he looks hesitant to shoot it now.
Well,
the whole thing, though,
30%
from three. But it's not even that, though, man. I mean, that stuff drives you crazy. It's the other stuff. I mean, you're supposed to be a leader on a young team.
He's not a leader.
Supposed to set the tone.
Can we stop? Can we stop with that? He's not a leader.
I know.
He's not.
But that's part of it, though. But that's part of being. I mean, that's if you fancy yourself the best player on the team and a star in the league. Like that comes along with it, especially in a young team. These guys look up to you. You set the tone. They got to see you. I'm not coming out for starting lineups on the road.
Right.
I'm going to
change
in, my, part of the
in,
locker
in
room.
My own area of the locker room.
It's one thing if LeBron does it, like, because LeBron James is hard on young players. But it's LeBron James, man.
It's a terrible look. And you know what? It's going to affect the trade value that this guy has too. Other teams know what this guy is about.
Yeah, this is not the way.
No.
This is not the way I thought this was going
to Let's go to Daryl in the happen. Car. Good morning, Daryl. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I got to talk about Julius Randle. He has to go, and I'm sick of it. Dave, in your words, he is a big baby. At this point, I'll take him for a lesser player. It doesn't even have to be equal value. But somebody that wants to play hard, it's going to give us more production than this guy that he's just a baby, and I can't take it anymore. He has to go. We're going to move along with R.J. Barrett and build around him, whether we get a number one piece in that mix or whatever. But he just has to go, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
The Knicks need good veteran. The Knicks need a good veteran. Now, I know, listen, I mean, it doesn't exist, but the name I'm saying is what you would need. It's like you saw what Chris Paul's done for Phoenix. Like, that's the kind of veteran that you want.
Do you remember when we would have the debate? Would you spend $40 million a year on Chris Paul? I don't know. He's kind of older. Maybe he doesn't have a lot left. I mean, you'd give a kidney for Chris Paul.
Dude,
now.
I mean, what he's done to that team.
I mean, he is completely now, Booker is great, and Ayton's a terrific player, and Bridges and all that. But, I mean, that thing goes with Chris Paul.
Well, he got the best out of it, though, man. I mean, you remember what that team was. That team was, you know, they had this crazy run in the bubble, and then all of a sudden, now they're a team that you put on, you know, in your top three teams that could win a championship this year. Like that, again, I mean, that's it. With a young team like the Knicks have, I mean, you expect a guy like Julius Randle to be...
Well, you should.
It doesn't have to be vocal, though, but it could be just a lead by example guy.
Yeah, but that's not who he is. That's just not who he is.
But if that's the, okay, if that's the case, and this is, and he's going to continue to act this way, then there's no, you have no choice.
Well, I think he's going to be dealt. I think it's going to happen right after the season.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.